May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, for the next few weeks before Christ the King Sunday, we're going to be looking at our appointed psalm for the day. Now, the lectionary psalms are selected from that ancient hymn book of Israel, first and foremost, to prime our hearts for the other lessons. As songs of worship, praise, wisdom, and even lament, they set the tone for how we should embrace the Old Testament lesson and also to look expectantly to the New Testament and Gospel lessons as what was once hidden in ages past is now revealed in Jesus Christ. When we read the Psalms, we are primarily stoking the flames of our own hearts in order to appreciate some aspect of God's character and to anticipate the unfolding of His loving plan of salvation over the millennia. But the Psalms also have a theology to teach us as well, which can even deepen our response, the response of our souls that we are exhorted to make in those very Psalms. The more we grasp what fed the Hebrew soul in their musical offerings to God, the more we can walk in their steps and prepare our own hearts for whatever the Lord may want to reveal to us from His holy word. This morning in particular, our selection from Psalm 37, we read that God uncovers for us the way of the Lord. I'd like everyone to say, the way of the Lord.
The way of the Lord.
Wonderful. Now, our psalm begins by telling us what the way of God isn't. The way of the Lord is not a way of worry in the face of other people's sinfulness. Neither the fretting of Democrats today under the administration and the impeachment proceedings, nor the bellyaching of Republicans under a previous administration's impeachment have anything in common with the way of the Lord. In this life, we expect fallen human beings to do wicked things, some intentionally, some not, some egregiously, some benignly. Sin is part of the common human experience. So the psalmist seems to be telling us, get over it, or at least not to worry our precious little heads over it. Why? Because there's an expiration date on sin. It won't last forever, either because people die, or, as we read at the end of our psalm, that God's patient people will finally possess the land. And if that's not enough, the psalmist reminds us that fretting itself leads to evil. Do you really want to be counted among the evildoers? And then the psalmist pretty clearly tells us what the way of the Lord is in response. It's to be completely committed to Him. Put your trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. These aren't merely nice words, kind of like if you're walking through Target in the home section and you see that word art that says love or believe. Trust is something that we usually try to hold on to until someone else has earned it. Delight is an emotional word, which maybe is a little too emotional sometimes for us Episcopalians when we think about God. And then commit. Really? Not just take a suggestion? Not simply hear some advice and then pick and choose what we like? The way of the Lord demands a devotion to God that relies on Him, that genuinely enjoys Him, and is willing to obey him. The psalmist boldly describes the way of the Lord as a way of being completely abandoned to God. No half-stepping, no hand-me-down faith, no lip service, no. Utter and complete commitment of your whole being, body and soul to our Lord Jesus Christ is what the psalmist encourages from us. Now, I want to pause here to point out something that often gets overlooked in our greedy, prosperity gospel-afflicted society. We read the ever-popular verse, "Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire." And suddenly, we're off in fantasy land. We're dreaming about the next car, the next house, the next trip. Or maybe you're a little more pragmatic, so maybe you're dreaming about the next paid-off debt and the next chunk that you're going to stick in your savings account. Or maybe if you're not necessarily money-driven, maybe you're thinking about fine wine and good food and fun music and great experiences. This is not what this verse is about. Context is king. If the Lord is your number one delight, then guess what? He is more than happy to reciprocate. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross. The Holy Spirit gives himself by being willing to dwell within the hearts of us who believe. Our Father in heaven gives himself through the promise of his accessibility during prayer in this life, all the while bringing us into a holy family that was waiting for him to bring us into that glorious eternity where heaven and earth are indistinguishable. The desire of our heart is God himself. He is our portion. He is our greatest gift, the giver of all good things himself. And that's a promise that God keeps every single time. Speaking of promises, the way of the Lord is the way of covenant promises. God holds himself accountable to his own plans for us. He doesn't change horses midstream. He doesn't renege on something that is good that he said that he would do. Our righteousness, our set rightness, if you will shine as brilliantly as the noonday sun. He'll even carry out those plans that we've committed to him that line up with his own will. Besides, we can't possibly do these things ourselves. In fact, his promises are so sure that we don't even have to scurry about trying to make them happen in our own strength. Because the God of love will surely carry out his good plan in his good time. It doesn't depend on us to make things happen, even though we are blessed to be allowed to participate in it. Having read the words of the psalmist, then our hearts should be encouraged. If we were worried, harried, and exasperated before, the Spirit speaks through these words to calm our anxieties and to cheer our souls. If we were distracted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life and livelihood, we hear Jesus summoning us through these words to make him the center of our joy. If we were trying to do it all by ourselves before, the Father shows us that he is trustworthy and he's the only one who could ever bring anything good about in our lives. It's all grace. It's nothing we can earn. It's nothing that we can build. It's nothing that we can create out of the nothing of our lives that we start off with under the heel of sin and death. But thanks be to God, we have amazing grace because of Jesus Christ. With this encouragement in the Lord's way, when we read in the prophet Habakkuk, who happened to be a contemporary of Jeremiah, right before the sack of Jerusalem, when we read his words, "The righteous shall live by faith," our hearts should be primed and pumped to affirm those very words with him. When we hear the words of the imprisoned apostle Paul, "I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard it until that day, what I have entrusted to him," our spirits should stir with all the more hope. And by the time we get to Jesus' own word, that with just a mustard seed size of faith, we can tell a mulberry tree to go into the midst of the sea, then we should be ready to shout, "Lord, which tree do you want me to send off?" The Psalms prepare our hearts to fully embrace the teaching that we find in our other readings. And as we meditate on the way of the Lord that our psalm reveals, a way of serenity, a way of total dedication, a way of sure promises backed by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we should be all the more inspired to leave our own cares behind in the hands of a loving Father, to fully and completely trust our Savior, and to take the Spirit-breathed words that we find in the Bible as trustworthy and true. Our hearts will be ready to keep Jesus as the center of our joy. So I invite you, as you're able to pick up on it, to join me in singing this song. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my content. You're the center.